Sometimes the world looks like you ain't ever seen it before. Stuck behind never-ending windows, all you need is a door. Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remembering unusual times that can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Just ask, say the word and I'll be there. Just ask, you know the greatest things in life all come in a pair. They say hindsight's 20/20, but that ain't far enough behind me. So if you want the sweetest honey, I think hindsight's 1990. Yes, I mean. To pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows Taught Me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Are you taking in stray dogs off the street to avoid having sex? Neither are we. Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. I'm Jess Sterling, here with my co-host, Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
I would like to have my accreditations part of my name from now on.
Oh, sorry.
Yes, Sarah Ferguson, number one mommy fan in the world.
Of course. Yes, sorry. Yeah. Sorry. That's how quickly I've forgotten that the importance of mommy and all of this.
I mean, does anybody take her feelings into consideration? Besides Javier, I don't think so.
Javier does, but not enough, obviously, because she's pissed.
He's still probably pissed. Like, the thing about that cat is that she will hold a grudge until the end of time.
And this is why, and I'm not trying to make a blanket statement about all cats, but certain cats, this is why I can't, because I need forgiving animals, you know, ones that forget that I've wronged them within 20 seconds of it happening.
Yeah, you want a dumb piece of work. That's what you want.
Yeah, who doesn't? Yeah, I don't. Why would I want my animal to be intelligent? That's not a qualification for me at all.
We have like pet stuff. And of course, when, you know, pets bring the greatest happiness in life, but also they come with the greatest sorrow when we have to say goodbye. And anybody that's followed us over the years knows that both of us are big animal lovers. Jessica, maybe a little bit more so, a lot more so. No, I love
unless
animals.
Unless it's snakes. You love snakes more than I love snakes.
Well, I mean, I've named my five favorite animals. I love Shih Tzus. Flamingos is probably number one.
Yeah.
Flamingos, Shih Tzus, Persian cats, snakes, and rabbits. Those are my favorite animals. I have it on lockdown, but I'm not like, and I would say like I'm a dog. No,
You're a cat person. You're a Shih Tzu person. You're not a dog person. You are a Shih Tzu person. There's a difference.
Right. Yeah. So, but you're like a dog person.
I rarely find a dog I don't like. Like it's very rare for that to happen for me. I will take almost any dog. I love all dogs. And so this episode is very tricky.
Yes.
Because of the content. So we do want to give out a content warning. If pet health, pet illness, pet death, any of those things are stuff that you just cannot handle, we're totally cool. Skip this episode, either just listen to us or skip the podcast. We understand. I don't want anybody to have to like put themselves through something because it's a difficult episode. I mean, anybody who's an animal lover is probably going to have a little bit of a tricky time, especially if you've had an experience of having to say goodbye to a pet, especially in the way Felicity does. This episode is really brutal. So take care of yourself, you know, talk to someone if you need to. There's no shame in feeling grief over the loss of a pet. I can speak to that personally. Like it feels like it's a very unique experience, unlike losing a human being. it feels like there's like shame around it a little bit sometimes, where there is the comparison of, well, it's not a human being, so should I feel this sad? And the answer is yes, you can feel however you need to feel. And so we want to just throw that out at the top, just in case people listen to the podcast and don't watch the episode. That is what you're in for this episode. There's still some very funny stuff that I cannot wait to talk about. Javier, especially, got to give him credit for making me so much happier than I probably would have been watching this episode. But there's some difficult stuff too that we're going to have to talk about. And unfortunately, the getting lucky or the lucky in getting lucky of season 2, episode 7 is a poor little stray pup. So,
oh yeah. I mean, really it's a double entendre, but,
yeah,
in the simplest form, Lucky is a dog. Now, what kind of dog is Lucky? Can you tell?
Lucky looks like some sort of terrier mix. Mm-hmm. He's a stray, so obviously he's probably a mix of different breeds. But to me, with the hair he has, looks to me to be some sort of terrier mix, possibly mixed with something like a basset hound or a dachshund, because he looked a little long in the torso to me. So that's my best guess. I truly don't know, but it's one of my favorite things is to look at dogs and be like, I think it's that breed. So yeah,
he's cute. I do like his face.
Mm-hmm.
He is a cute dog.
He's very cute. I mean, to be honest, if I ran into any dog that was like stray on the streets, especially like New York City, I feel like I have a bleeding heart. Like, I've never loved Felicity more than I did this episode when she's trying her best to take in poor Lucky.
I mean, truly trying her very hardest. Like, she really is doing everything that she possibly can to make sure this dog is happy and healthy and in a safe home. And she does find him on the street, and he has no collar. He has no tagging.
I'm looking at his face again. I think he definitely has some Jack Russell Terrier in him. That's his face.
All right. Good for you, Lucky. You know, I don't know if this is, I mean, I'm sure Felicity, like when she brought him to the vet's off, he had a microchip. I don't know
if microchips existed at this point.
You know, I really don't know, but she's talking to Sally and she's like, you know, something crazy happened, like something very pivotal in my life. I found Lucky, and we see her find Lucky on the street, and she automatically brings the dog to Elena, which I thought that she was very funny in the scene, because she's just like, ew, why are you bringing this dog here? Like, don't give me any diseases. And she's like, the dog's fine. And she's like, no, not the dog, you. Because we have the callback for the mono. And Felicity says she did not have mono. She had the flu.
But still, don't be kissing people when you have the flu, truly. Like, just when you're ill with anything that is contagious, don't be kissing people, you know?
Right, yeah.
But things are going well with David. This is like interesting to me because we ended the last episode with her, you know, they're kissing, and we're jumping right into like things are going really well with them. They're actively seeing each other. They're kissing a lot. So it seems like he may have gotten over whatever was like, you know, the walls that he had put up for himself. It seems like he is now breaking them down to be with Felicity.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it seems like they have their matching haircuts and they seem like they're really happy.
Curly hair duo.
Yeah. Yeah. Truly. Yeah. And the only thing that they haven't done is they haven't had sex yet. And this is what we're going to like visit in this episode, because Felicity has some like avoidant tendencies that are raging in this episode.
And I like this as a topic for the episode. Honestly, I think it's really uncommon. I think in these types of shows and teen dramas, it's really common for us to get like virgin storylines, right? Of someone losing their virginity. That is so common, especially when you're in the coming of age sort of time period. It's uncommon for us to see someone who has had sex one time, then go back to being like, there's like a barrier. There's like a mental block with them having sex again. I just think it's a really unique storyline, and I appreciate it for that angle.
Yeah, I think that like I think it's a really genuine sentiment and feeling, to especially if you lose your virginity to somebody that like you didn't really care about, to like have sex for the first time with somebody that you actually very much care about, and like that pressure, and it kind of gives some insight as to like why it didn't happen with Noel, why it didn't happen with Ben. Like, she is, it's almost like she's losing her like mental virginity, because it's like, okay, before it's just like physical, but now this is like another form of intimacy that she has to like open up to, and she feels uncomfortable being that like naked, so to speak.
Yeah. And like in front of someone she cares, right? Or cares yeah. about. And I also think there's something to, and we'll get into it probably a little bit more later, but there could be something to it where like the last situation with Ben, and not that they had sex, but it didn't work out so well, right? Like, and she was very all in on that as a relationship. And then she got her heart broken a bit. So I think there also could be something to that, in that she's a little nervous because of what just happened with Ben.
Yeah, of course I would be. So she brings Lucky into Elena and Noel's apartment. Now, I know you, and you would be like, yes, any dog can come in and yeah. may stay. Like, she's looking for a place because obviously she's an RA. She lives in the dorm room. She can't. One of the main rules is like no pets in the dorms.
Right.
I know I was a fugitive because of my hamster Petunia, mm-hmm. but I mean, so is life. It's fine. So Elena is like hesitant, but lets him. He makes himself at home. Like, he is buzzing this dog.
Yeah. And I think it's really funny. I mean, let's be real. It makes sense that Felicity brings Lucky to Elena and Noel's. Like, where else is she really gonna go? I feel like Elena is her closest friend that has an apartment. So it makes sense. But I really like that it, you know, I say a lot that me and Elena feel like two peas in a pod. We have a lot in common. This is something we do not share, that she seems to have major disdain for Lucky immediately. She does not find him cute. She doesn't really want him in their apartment. I think it's solely her friendship with Felicity that is allowing this dog to even enter into her home. She's not into it.
I think like Elena is very into like cleanliness and order, and Lucky is not that. Like, I don't know. I mean, I am okay with dogs being on the furniture, but also that couch is cream. So, and that is an unwashed street dog.
Yeah. The thing is, it's like, and I love, obviously I said it, I love dogs. If you're picking up a stray and bringing it home, immediate bath, immediate like check for ticks and fleas and all these other things. Like, you don't know where they've been, what diseases they might be carrying. Like, truly, you probably don't want a stray dog on your couch.
No.
Especially like you said, Elena to me also feels like a very cleanly person, and she's not super into it. I love Sarah. And I will say Elena, I know I usually say she, I feel like me and Elena are simpatico. I think there's a bit of you in Elena in this episode, because the one point that she can focus on from this conversation with Felicity is, wait a minute, you're coming home from David's. Wait a minute. Did you spend the night there? Wait a minute. Did you score?
I mean, I would want to know the details, of course. Elena is like very nosy. She gives such Virgo energy.
Yes, yes, yes. And she, and I think this is very in character for her. We've talked, you know, eyes on the ball, be the ball. And she says, like, she immediately knows when David said, oh, they want to stay in and do a movie night. She's like, that's it. It's code for sex.
It's code for sex.
She knows everything.
I would want to know the details, like, if it's somebody new, you know? Like, I mean, I, of course, want to know. If my friend is sleeping with somebody new, I want to know the details. Like, how is it? Are you enjoying it? Is it going well? Like, I don't need to hear, like, the dirty details when you're, like, you know, 8 months into it, fine. Like, I'm sure it's fine. But, like, yeah, of course, like, I want to know what's going on. Like, it's fun. We talked a lot about this in our American Pie pod, just being, like, open. Yeah. And, like, I definitely come from a group of friends where we, like, speak openly about sex. And I guess, like, I'm just, like, not very, like, I'm not squeamish when it comes to details. And like, yeah. I kind of just feel like that's how you educate each other on things like that, being open. But Felicity is still pretty squeamish about all of it. But I mean, yeah. I'm not surprised, because every single like chance Elena gets to ask Felicity two personal questions, she will ask. And she says to herself, like, it's because I have nothing going on. And it's because she's studying too much.
Yeah, she doesn't. She's living. Her sex life is living vicariously through Felicity at this point because she's so busy, wrapped up in textbooks. She's not going out. She's not dating. And so she wants to know what Felicity's up to. But Felicity, like me, Sarah, is not a huge sharer when it comes to that sort of thing. Like she, and I don't know if it's because there is this mental block going on and she's like embarrassed or doesn't want to talk about it, or like, you know what I mean? Like even on a subconscious level, or if this is just who Felicity is. I think either one is possible. It could be a bit of both. Yeah. But yeah, this is not really, Felicity doesn't really want to talk about this. She's focusing a lot of her attention on Lucky. She says, oh, he has the sweetest disposition. He just needs some love. And I have to say, Sarah, we know I'm legally Team Ben forever. However, when Noel came in to the apartment and he immediately was like, oh my gosh, he looks just like Woofy. Like his neighbor had a dog in Boston and he loved Woofy, but it turns out he's allergic to dogs. And he thinks, oh, maybe I've just, you know, grown out of my allergy to dogs. That's not so, because he immediately starts like breaking out, his throat's closing up, his eyes are watering. But Sarah, I thought it was so sweet and endearing how badly Noel just like wanted to play with dogs, but he can't because he's allergic.
Yeah, this is very endearing for Noel. And I miss when Noel was just like a cute guy and like, like take away all the jealous stuff and the weirdness. And like he was in the very beginning, like such a likable character. And this like endears me to him because it is very, very sweet. Like, if you see, I mean, I think it's a huge green flag if you see how a man responds or reacts to an animal.
I could have never dated a person that did not only enjoy animals, but like want to have animals. There mm-hmm. there's a big difference between liking to like, you know, say hi to an animal and wanting to have an animal, you know, like for me, it's a huge part of my life. And so I like, that's a huge green flag to see Noel be like, oh my gosh, look at him. Of course, allergies, you know, you can take shots and all of that stuff, whatever. But I just think like, I'm going to like spoil a little bit ahead. Like this is a great episode for Noel. I really think, and whether or not you want to say like he has ulterior motives with helping Felicity and all of that, maybe that's true. I still think he was such a kind person this episode. And I think with all that Felicity had to go through this episode, I just like loved how much of a shoulder to lean on he was.
Yeah, he really was. Like, I think that, I mean, there was like some weird conversations that he had later in the episode, but he really was a good friend to Felicity, which is great, especially because this whole thing was pretty messed up. It's very cute that he was so interested in Lucky, but sadly Lucky can't stay at Noel and Elena's because he is reacting very badly to the
I
dog.
I thought the makeup department did a really good job.
Yeah, he has like hives. Yeah. You know what animal is quote unquote hyperallergenic? Shih tzus. Yeah.
Of course. Yeah. Okay, because I don't know the ins and outs of hypoallergenic dogs. I still think that like people who are allergic to dogs would have a reaction around
them. It's like blah blah dander. The thing is that like Shih Tzus have hair and not fur.
Okay, so, gotcha. That's why they constantly need to be groomed because it grows and grows and grows, right?
Yeah, they don't shed like a dog does. Like I forgot for a while that dogs shed. Because my dog's
I've never forgotten.
Yeah.
I actively look for the hairiest dog I can find.
I mean, it's not like my dogs are not hairy, but they just, you have to like groom them. You have to get them like haircuts every 6 weeks.
Yeah. So see, I would rather take, and obviously I have a slight dog allergy, which is kind of funny, but that would never deter me. And it's not anywhere near the level of Noel, right? Like I just get some dry, itchy eyes sort of situation, but that would never stop me like from having a dog. And yeah, I would rather deal with the clumps of hair like floating around the house than have to get my dog groomed like all the time, just because mm-hmm. it's nothing against like the cost, although of course that's a factor. It's more about like, I'm not good at like maintenance appointments for things. Like,
you're not?
No. And I know it sounds surprising, right? Because I'm a very organized person, but like having to do something on a set schedule every like 6 weeks where it's appointments where I have to go somewhere and do something, I'm not great at it. And that's because I'm
specialty.
Like, I just don't like it.
I like clockwork. I get my nails done every 4 or 5 weeks. Mm-hmm. No, I know it's every 4 weeks. It used to be every three.
Every four weeks you go? Wow, that's a long time. I feel like back in the day, it was like 2 weeks you'd have to go.
Well, no, it was three, but Mimi is really talented.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then I'm assuming at 4 weeks, it's because they're like grown out. Like you could see the.
Yeah. 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 And then Belle's on a set schedule. Like if I'm able to book appointments like 6+ months out, I do.
That's a good way to do it. I also just don't have anything in my life currently where that's even necessary. I don't get my hair cut that often. I go like every 6 months. So that's, I don't even bother setting an appointment in advance. I just wait until I'm that annoyed with my hair and then I book.
Yeah. No, I have my appointment for my next haircut that I made like 4 months ago.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Very organized. Okay. So yeah. Felicity does the responsible thing. She brings the dog to the vet. And it's interesting because like the dog gets like a clean bill of health, but you would think that they would do like a full blood panel and then they would have an indication that there could be an issue. But
yes, but the problem is that if, you know, this is a stray and Felicity is a college student and blood panels are expensive. And so it's possible that they had said like, and I have some experience with this in terms of like pet health, if the dog seems fine, then they'd probably say you could order a blood panel, but everything seems fine and it costs like $300. So blah, 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 you know? And I don't know, like, it's also interesting to me, again, this is the 90s. So I don't know how it was back then, but she's in New York City. There has to be a rescue organization around she could bring the dog to. Like, it's weird to me that that's never even mentioned as an option, that there should be a rescue organization.
It seems to me she wants to keep the dog.
I mean, but the problem is like she wants to quote unquote keep the dog, but like she doesn't have a place to house the dog.
Well, yeah, that is the problem because like that is kind of where we spend like half of this episode dealing with is the fact of like, where can she bring the dog? Also, she's trying to have this like hot date with David and that's not working. Right.
And I love Elena here where Felicity's trying to talk about Lucky saying like, she's like, I don't know what I'm going to do with him. And Elena says, you could always get another sex book. Tonight, like, you're going to score.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Elena is, you know, eyes on the ball, truly.
Yeah.
So Felicity brings Lucky to Javier, who is agreeable to watch Lucky for at least that night. But the issue is that Javier has to get permission from mommy. And mommy. And
not his mommy.
M-A-M-I, mommy. And mommy is his all white Persian cat. Mm-hmm. Now, Persian cats, like I said earlier, are my favorite, one of my favorite animals. White Persian cats, I especially love. You were right. I would prefer my Persian to have more of a smush face, but I still really, really, really like this Persian cat.
I also felt like you would enjoy the fact that, so when they have the introductions between Lucky and mommy, mommy is in like a gold kind of metal crate. And yeah. I was like, this is so, like, most crates don't look beautiful. Like, that's not really a thing. Like, that's not usually the purpose of a crate. Especially a cat carrier usually is designed so that, like, the cat can feel safe, so it's mostly enclosed. I was like, this is the most extra bougie cat crate I think I've ever seen.
I'm obsessed with mommy. This is, like, literally my dream cat. Like, I'm just, like, obsessed. And the way that Javier treats mommy like the queen that she is is so entertaining. And basically he's like, I'm fine with it. I want to watch the dog, but it's up to mommy. And mommy does
time to mull it over.
Yeah, she needs time to mull it over. She does absolutely nothing. Like, maybe she turns her back on the dog. And, like, Javier's like, that's it. Like, she does not approve. I can't watch the dog. I want to, but she said no. And then, like, later in the episode, he's like, she's holding a grudge against me.
Yeah, he immediately is just like, oh, look at her. She hates him. She's insulted. She's pissed off. Look at her.
Also, and like, mommy's on a red velvet pillow.
Of course she is. Of course she is. That would be covered in white hair immediately.
She's perfect.
But he, and this is so funny. Like, this is a very typical thing for any pet owner to attribute feelings to an animal that, like, probably isn't there, you know, most likely isn't there, could be, probably not. I love Javier's reaction of, oh my God, she's upset with me. Oh, I don't mind taking Lucky, but mommy, no, look at her. Mommy hates him.
it was so funny. Like, this was such a good scene, and just like reminds me, like, Javier is just like such a bright spot in this show. Definitely my favorite character. Like, anything that Javier says, I'm cackling at. It's so good.
He really, this was a really difficult episode for me, and Javier was such a bright spot for me. He always was just cracking me up because, again, like, yes, maybe Javier is a bit over the top. However, like, a lot of pet owners are like this, myself included. You know what I mean? Like, we attribute things to our pets because they're people to us. And I just absolutely adored his reactions with mommy. It was so funny.
Queen mommy, like, literally just like my favorite creature on earth.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So that is another lead that will not work out. Of course not, because mommy does not want any visitors.
He's insulted that he would even suggest such a thing.
I mean, of course. So David comes around and is like, hi, are you down to fuck tonight? And Felicity's like, I still need to find a babysitter for my dog.
Yeah, the dog that I found yesterday needs a babysitter, so let me go to Sean's and see if Sean will watch him for a few days. Did you notice the apron Sean was wearing in this episode?
What kind of apron is Sean wearing?
Well, it is a normal just red apron. However, on the front, he has his own little logo for smoothies.
Man, he is really high on the smoothies.
He really is.
Goodness.
And the double O in smoothies has like a smiley underneath it, like it's like some guy with, like, I don't know, glasses or just eyes or something. He's really in on it, and he's still, I'm surprised we're still on smoothies and we're not already jumping to another invention. Like, we've spent a few episodes on smoothies at this point.
Maybe he's like, you know what, my issue is that I'm not focused enough, so I need to focus and develop smoothies. Like, he's putting all of his eggs in the smoothies basket.
Yeah.
Which I don't really agree with, but
I don't either. I mean, I'm not saying the condiment can't be successful. It's the name that is so bad that, like, I don't know how it would even get off the shelves, you know?
Then again, green ketchup really became a raging thing around this time.
Because ketchup was an established product. You're just making it a more fun color.
It wasn't that fun. It was pretty
gross. I liked the purple one, though. I was a kid. No, and I was like, this is great.
So gross. So gross.
Yeah. But Lucky immediately, not great. He grabs a shirt out of the laundry bin, starts playing with it, and then in the process of running around the apartment, he completely knocks over a ton of ingredients for the smoothies product that Sean is working on. And it's like, yeah, okay, not going to work out.
Yeah. Lucky has a little bit of behavioral issues that start coming out from now on. Which is
totally fair. He's a stray dog. Like, if he has been on the street for a while, who was teaching him behavioral stuff? No one.
I don't know. He's just, like, not a good dog.
I don't believe that there are good dogs and bad dogs. I believe that there are dogs who just haven't been trained, and like he hasn't been trained. He doesn't know better. You're putting him in, first of all, you're putting him in a brand new environment. He's never been in this apartment. You have out things that are like attractive to animals. You know, he thinks that shirt's a toy. He's going to play with it. Maybe when he was walking around the streets of New York City, he played with fabric all the time. Like, I'm just saying.
Wait, when he lived in the fabric district, he's like hanging out.
Like shirts and towels and all this other stuff. Like, he's not trained. You can't hold it against him, in my opinion. Like, with dogs, you need to set barriers. Like, you need to keep your eyes on them and give them positive reinforcement when they do good things. And if they do bad things, you can't yell at them. They don't understand that. And so Lucky is just a dog who has never been trained to do anything. So he doesn't know that his behavior is inappropriate. I'm a Lucky defender. It's not his fault. He's just a poor little baby angel.
Well, he gets kicked out again. That is three strikes for Lucky.
Not great for Lucky.
Ben is at work with Javier, and Javier is spending his day obsessing over Mommy and the repercussions of bringing Lucky into their orbit. And he says that he's a pet psychic.
I loved this moment. He says, I can't go to the zoo. It's horrible. Like that Dr. Eliza Doolittle. Wait, no, that's My Fair Lady.
a really easy mistake to make, truly.
Yeah. Really. This was so funny to me because I think like back in the 90s, obviously it was a little bit different with zoos and stuff. I think now zoos are treated, there's like a different opinion on zoos sometimes, right? Where it's like, they're caging up these animals. It's really sad. Like they're just on display all the time. Like, are the animals even happy? You know? So I feel like Javier is ahead of the times with this statement that he makes about zoos.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's a pet psychic. So he hears how sad all the animals are, how they just want to go home to Asia and Africa.
Yeah, their native lands.
They want to go home, so it's just too hard for him, and he's like, I am an empath. But in comes Maggie, and Maggie is like, you,
we're gonna fuck again.
I want you, and you are going to come up. I have a proposition for you. Yes, I am married, but I do not care. I've decided that I'm going to have an affair with you, and here is this card. And he's like, is this a credit card? And it's like, no, you stupid ass. This is a hotel key. Meet me here in this time.
Yeah, she says, if you don't come this evening, if you don't arrive this evening at the hotel room, I will never bother you again. But like, I'm still interested in having this affair.
Yeah, she says, I will not explain to you all the issues with me and my husband. Which, do you think that Ben is owed an explanation if he is going to fully sign up for this?
I think, let me put it this way. I think if there's any chance that her husband is dangerous in that he will physically hurt Ben or come after him in some way as a result of like this affair getting out, I think he deserves an explanation in that regard. Do I think he deserves an explanation on like all the problems in their marriage? No, I don't think so. It's fully within his right to say, no, sorry, I don't want to have an affair with you because you're married. But if he's engaging in the affair with her without knowing all the information, in my opinion, that's on him. He has a right to refuse.
Yeah. So messy.
Decisions. Listen, I love the mess. I love the mess. We hate that Ben's doing this, but we love the mess, baby.
Yeah. Julie comes home and is upset that Lucky destroyed her pink shirt.
Also, can I just say, and I don't know if this is like a telltale sign or anything, but she's walking around the apartment in like a bra and jeans. And I don't know if you feel like this, but I'm like, I feel like she definitely feels like Sean is just a friend at this point if she's walking around in just a bra.
Duh. Yeah. She thinks that Sean is her brother. That's what she's doing. She's just like casually walking around. If it was somebody that she actually saw like a romantic future with, then she would not be showing that much skin. And he's staring at her like, you know, she doesn't even notice that. But he's asking her what she's up to. She is going on a date with a guy named Seven. Is that right?
Yeah. What a fucking stupid name. Seven? Why?
I don't know. That's his name.
So dumb. Yeah. And they have this little joke where he says, have fun. And she says, I'm going to have sex, Jack. And she's like, oh, me, my friend used to say it. It's from some movie. And neither one of them can remember what movie it's from, but they know it's from something. We'll find out later that, movie it's from. Who cares?
I suppose, like, we get that to be like, hey, look, these two would be great together. They have so much in common, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's like the purpose of it. See, like, it is very sweet that when she walks away, Sean just kind of stares at her as she's leaving the room. And then he just kind of like sighs. And it is very sweet. Like, you can tell he just so obviously has feelings for her. But at this point, he is so deep into the like friendship corner, you know, mm-hmm. like he is so friend zoned so hard. Like it's yeah. really like almost impossible to crawl out of the friend zone that he's in.
I mean, nothing's impossible. I'm sure that there's a possibility, but I don't see that happening at the very moment. Mm-hmm. We have Felicity and David making out. Lucky is there, but he starts like terrorizing them.
Yeah, they say, like, David comes to the rescue, says, I'll take him in until you can, like, find a permanent place for him. And, yeah, like, he makes the joke of, finally, I'm getting lucky. Like, ha, ha, ha.
Hilarious. That is so funny.
Yeah. Can I ask, like, your feelings on David? And maybe I should ask at the end of the podcast, but, like, how do you feel about David at this point?
I don't think about David is my... Yeah, he's fine. He's fine. He's fine.
But I wish I was more invested in him as a potential partner for Felicity. I just feel like I barely know him and I don't find him like, I don't find him anything. I don't know.
Yeah. That's kind of how I feel about him as well. I just don't feel that strongly about him. Like, I think that like, at least he's not, I don't think he's a bad guy. Like, it's not like he's like Blair who's like cheating on her with her best friend, but I don't know. Like, he truly is a B-list guy. Not to be rude.
But yeah, they're trying to like, go ahead. Sorry.
I think he's just meant to be like, whatever.
He's cannon fodder. He's going to be here for a little bit and not maybe a good time, not a long time.
He's the flavor of the week.
Yeah. So they're making out and like getting, you know, intimate. But Lucky is staring at them and whimpering and barking. And the funny thing is, this is now the second show that I've had to discuss dogs watching people having sex. It happens on Schitt's Creek as well.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Okay, so this is my sentiment around this. Like, it is so uncomfortable when the animal is in the same room as you, watching you. It is weird, but... I refuse to lose a sexual encounter due to an animal. So the dog gots to go. I've known plenty of animal to be little freaks and love to be in the room. I've also known a lot of animals that hide, like a scaredy cat. I just feel like they just don't belong in the room, and I will not sacrifice my sexy time for an animal's comfort is my sentiment.
Okay. My follow-up question is, if the dog is like barking, right, as a result of you like kicking them out of the room or whatever, does that impede your ability to do anything, you know, to be in the mood, to be in the moment? You
raise the volume of whatever music and ignore them.
Okay.
Like, fuck that. Like, I am not losing an orgasm because of fucking Lucky.
The funny thing is I in this moment, in this scene with Felicity, because I was not yet on Elena's side, right? I was not yet on Elena's side of you're using the dog to get out of having sex. She hears him whimpering in the bathroom because that's where David puts him so they can be intimate. And she's like, oh my God, he's barking. Like, it sounds like he needs to go for a walk. Like, I'm going to, you know, let me go walk him. I've been there, you know, where it's like, I am someone who is so easily distracted. I have a really hard time, like, when there are multiple things happening at once, my brain can't focus. It's like very difficult for me. I would be very distracted by this if I'm Felicity. I'd be very distracted, one, because the dog is making noise, two, because the dog is still a stray dog and I'm still familiarizing myself with it. And I don't know if he's going to ruin anything in that bathroom. Like, what if he eats something he's not supposed to? What if he, like, goes to the bathroom? Like, I'm just saying, like, that. That's
then he goes to the bathroom on tile floor. That's the perfect place for him to go to the bathroom.
Or outside is the perfect place for him to go to the bathroom.
Well, if he has to go inside.
Yeah, either way, Felicity says, yeah, we didn't have sex that night because of the dog, which that was okay, though. We all slept soundly. And I love the visual we get of Felicity looking very comfortable, Lucky being on his back in the center of the bed, and then yeah. David looking pissed off as fuck.
Okay, and this is, like, my other thing. Like, I spent a very long-term relationship with the dog sleeping in the bed, but now that I'm in a different relationship where the dogs don't sleep in the bed, I like it better. I mean, yeah,
I get it. I understand, but couldn't be me. I already, for those who don't know, we got a puppy recently, and he's about 11 or 12 weeks old-ish. He's a rescue, so we're not positive, but about that. And we were going to try to crate him overnight. I lasted a single night of Jessica. Him being crated. The second night he cried for a little bit, and then I thought he was going to settle down, and then he cried like, so much, and I took him out. But the thing is I asked my husband, I said, how do you feel about this? And he was like, yes, let him out, let him on the, we're both very pro having the dog on the bed with us. We really love it. I know it's not for everyone, and I totally understand that. But it is for us.
Get used to the crate at least a little bit. Oh no,
he's fine. He's fine in the crate. It's the overnights in the crate he's not a big fan of. Like, I understand that because we're in the same room as him. If we're not home, he doesn't care. But if we're in the same room as him, he doesn't want to be in there. And I get it. And he's been so good with potty training that we trust him now. And he's been good. But yeah, I understand people not wanting the dog on their bed, but it's something I really enjoy and I really like. I love, like, little family snuggles with the dog.
I mean, like, if I was sleeping alone in the bed, then I would want, like, Belle to be in the bed with me. Like, I don't mind that. But mm-hmm. when it's me and my partner, I just want it to be me and my partner. This mm-hmm. is like co-sleeping, like with babies.
I disagree with that because I would be afraid of squishing a baby.
You're not, I mean, I guess so, but still.
Yeah, no, I don't want to squish a baby. I don't know. I feel a little bit different about baby because they're also humans and they, like, I don't know. But either way, yeah, Elena is not a fan of this. Like, she is like, you didn't have sex with him because of the dog.
Yeah.
Put him somewhere he can't see. And yeah. I love Elena.
I agree.
There are so many dog owners in this country and they all manage to score.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with that too. I think that she's detecting it, that this is more of like a mental issue. Felicity is refusing at this point, which, like, I think I agree with you. Like, at first I was like, yeah, like, it would be distracting. Like, obviously she's looking for the right time, but, like, the more it happens, the more obvious it is that
right.
it is like a mental block.
Yeah. And I think, like, it is on such a subconscious level that Felicity doesn't even realize it until Elena points it out and says, you have issues with sex. Like, you know, you dated Noel for a year, you didn't have sex. She's like, I wasn't ready. Okay. Understandable. But then what about Ben? Well, I wasn't fully prepared. Like, there's a lot of excuses that, again, totally within her right to not have sex with any of them. But if there's a mental block, like, if it's not because you don't want to, then I think that there is like a little bit of a mental block there. So we get this, like, small scene with Sean and Sean and Julie where she wakes him up from a deep sleep. I would be so pissed off if she woke me up just to tell me the name of the movie that this quote was from.
He would never get mad at that.
Of course not. He's not mad.
You know what my feelings are? Like, I care about Sean and Julie, but, like, send me a postcard when something actually happens.
I think we're doing breadcrumbs right now. I think we're laying a path for them in the future.
I am not satiated, is that the word, by yes. breadcrumbs anymore. I need the bread.
We're only 7 episodes into this season and they haven't even had that many scenes together.
I
like the breadcrumbs.
No, I'm sick and tired of this. I just want them to get together.
Yeah. Ben, as always, goes to Sean for some advice because, I mean, Sean doesn't really always give the best advice, but, like, whatever. It's at least he
has a friend. Thank goodness.
Yeah, he's asking someone. And so he says, Maggie's married. What am I going to do? Break up a marriage? And he says, but you know what? She must be, like, really unhappy. So, like, kind of who cares, right? It's like, I mean, he really is just wanting someone to give him the thumbs up on this degree project.
Yeah, I'm trying to greenlight this project. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, justify it all you want. Like, he's just trying to, he wants to do it. He feels a little bit bad about it. And he just wants somebody to be like, you're not a terrible person if you do this.
Yeah. And I felt bad for Sean because it's obvious that Sean is like very distracted because of his feelings for Julie, but he is not going to Ben for advice. And I understand why, because not only did Ben date Julie, but they all live together. So it's like very incestuous and complicated. But I wish Sean had someone to go to like have this conversation with.
I'm sure. No, I don't think he has anybody.
He's too busy working on smoothies.
Oh, God. Does he have a real job?
Honestly, it feels to me like he's kind of a nepo baby. I don't know if that's true, but it would make sense. You know
what I think it is? I think he probably had like a big break once, like one invention really took off. And he's probably like riding the high from that.
It's the vending machines. It's the Kodak vending machines.
Oh, you know what that is? That is passive income, pretty much.
We love passive income. If I could have passive income, holy shit, that would be incredible.
Jessica, do you want to be a landlord?
Absolutely not. No. Mm. I don't like interacting with people. I'm not super handy. No, I really don't want to be a landlord.
Yeah. So Felicity now is like, I have no choice. I have to sneak the dog into my apartment, into my dorm room. And she asks Megan if she could please, 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 please watch Lucky. And Megan's like too agreeable, but Megan also has a favor to ask her. She wants to use her, Felicity's computer for quote unquote homework, which she literally does air quotes. It's not homework. It's probably like some sort of like ordering system for shit in her box. And she asked Megan to like babysit Lucky for a few minutes so that she can grab Lucky more food. And Megan's like, whatever, whatever. Sure, sure, sure.
She's way too agreeable, which is how you know it's going to go terribly.
Yeah, totally. Because Megan doesn't even care what Lucky's name is. But like, she literally does not care about Lucky, but she agrees to it.
I do like her hair. I think it's so cute, and like the space buns that she has it in. They're like really close together space buns. I don't know. I really, really loved everything Megan had going on with the hair and makeup this episode. Mm-hmm.
Megan's very funny. She is basically like, she's like too nice to Felicity in this scene. It's like actually almost, she's like, not a problem.
And this is why Felicity should be like skeptical of what's going on.
Yeah, because I think like Megan loses the dog within 1 second, and the door was closed when Felicity left. So like Megan had to actively open up the door to let Lucky escape.
The thing is Megan does not feel like a dog person to me at all.
No, of course like, not.
She barely even seems like a cat person. Like it feels snakes. Like any sort of animal that she would have has to be in some sort of cage. You know what I mean? Like
snakes,
a snake,
tarantula,
a turtle, an iguana. Like she's not a like soft, fuzzy thing you have to remember to feed often and let out to go to the bathroom sort of girl, you know?
No. Yeah. Yeah, so we'll see how that babysitting endeavor goes, but it's not going to go well. Ben meets up with Maggie at the hotel, and he's like, I tried to use this card at my local CVS for condoms, but it didn't go through. Maggie's like, Ben, I told you it's a hotel key. It's not a credit card. I told you. I reminded you.
Yeah. He's like, oh, I forgot. Ridiculous. Yeah. I do love the scene, too, of him, like, playing with the hotel key card, like, contemplating. I can't remember what the hell song was playing when they – oh, that's what it was. I was dying because – the song playing in the background when he like enters the hotel room is "Let's Have a Rendezvous." Like the wording was so on the nose. It was so funny.
Let's go. So funny. Yeah, he decides like he is for this affair, which I mean, we're all about good TV. I'm for it too, I suppose.
We all know it's not going to end well. So it's fine. It's whatever. We know it's not going to last much longer. So whatever. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Megan loses Lucky pretty much instantly. She's just like, he probably went to the bathroom, and she's like, where? And she's like, well, not in here, obviously. And shame on these college students. And I understand they're dumb college kids and they're probably already drunk, never, ever give a dog alcohol. It is like, first of all, that is also a small dog. And like, there are accidents, right? Accidents happen. There are times when dogs get into things they shouldn't. Chocolate, chicken bones, you know, they're like, dogs get into stuff. That's what dogs do. Do not give your dog alcohol. It is like so supremely dangerous for them. I was so irritated with these people.
Yeah. I mean, they're pretty dumb. Stupid kids.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you remember that whole scandal with the girl from Love is Blind and she had a golden retriever and she gave it like red wine? Do you remember that whole thing?
No.
Did you watch it? Yeah.
No.
It was like the first season or something. I think her name was Jessica, I want to say. That yeah, she had a golden retriever and she gave it red wine and like people were up in arms about it.
I mean,
I was like,
did the dog survive?
Oh, the dog was fine. But it was like, I mean, truly like a golden retriever is a fairly large dog. And like a couple sips of red wine isn't going to do much unless, I don't know, they have some sort of crazy reaction to it. But like, you shouldn't do it.
Belle got into a giant bar of Russian chocolate that yeah. like my boss got me when she went to Russia. Belle was fine.
I mean, again, every dog has different reactions. It's just like, don't do it. Like, don't actively give the dog something that like they're not supposed to have, you know?
Yeah. I did not give Belle the chocolate. She got
it. One time my childhood dog got, you know, those like chocolate oranges around the holidays.
Yeah.
He ate the entire thing. Foil and all, baby.
Oh.
It was fine.
Yeah. Did he smell like a clementine?
No, I just knew he ate it because I was like, I was young.
You're like, I want my chocolate orange. Where is it?
I did. I had cracked it and I left it on like my brand new desk. The desk actually that I am sitting at right now. I left it on my desk as I was watching Ice Age. Why do I remember this? Who the fuck knows? I came back and it was gone. And I was like, did someone take my orange? And it was like, well, the dog.
Those things are not that good.
I don't like them as an adult, but I did as a kid. So
they don't really do that good. Bango's a pound town. Good for him.
Ben's a pound town. Felicity and David are on their way to pound town.
Yeah.
When Lucky is staying at Elena's because Elena's a good friend and agrees to watch Lucky so that Felicity can get Lucky. But unfortunately, she again leaves the dog alone in the room, which you shouldn't do when you don't know a dog and you don't know what you can trust it with doing. And he immediately starts ripping the couch, pulling the corner off the creek couch.
And then is this when he like pees in the house? And then
so Noel gets home and he's like, what is this dog doing here? And Elena lies and says that Felicity is at the library.
Right. And then he bites Noel.
Yeah, he pees on Noel, some sort of project Noel has, and then he bites Noel. And so Noel beeps Felicity, which then Felicity calls them. And Noel's freaking out, and he's like, you need to come get your dog. Your dog just bit me, so you have to come take him away. And he realizes, yeah, she's not at the library. And once he finds out that she's at David's, this is where I thought it got really interesting, Sarah, because he says, No, never mind. You can stay. It's fine. Like, it's not that bad. It's just a small little flesh wound.
Yeah,
it's
not nice guy, Noel. Nice guy, Noel.
He wants Felicity to get some.
Yeah, yeah. Which I thought was really nice as well. And, but no, she is very insistent because, like, he's like, no, stay. And she's like, no, I gotta come. And he's like, no, stay. And she's like, no, I gotta come. So she, this is, like, where it becomes more and more obvious that, like, there is more of a mental issue than, I mean, like, the dog is an issue, but, like, her own mental blocks is more of an issue. And David looks so pissed. Again, so mad.
Yeah. Yeah, he just looks, like, so over it. Like, this is, he's just tired of dealing with this. And Felicity, I mean, like, the thing is he really is stuck between a rock and a hard place. Like, what is he supposed to say? Like, it's already an awkward enough conversation to even accuse someone of avoiding having sex with you. But, like, the dog bit a person. He can't really be, like, up in arms about her leaving to go deal with that. You know what I mean? Like, it's a really tough spot that he's in.
Yeah. I mean, the dog's becoming a pain in the ass.
Certainly. Yeah. And we flash forward or move forward to like the next day, and David is watching Lucky now, and Elena and Felicity are hanging out, and Noel comes in, and I was really not a fan of what Elena did here, where she immediately says to Felicity, like, oh, ask Noel. And she's like, I don't want to talk to him about this. And she's like, well, he has firsthand experience with it. And she like outs that Felicity's like having some issues with sex. And I just did not like that. I'm like, Elena, this is like, you're not following girl code. What are you doing?
I agree with that. And that's why I don't love it when Elena does these things. Like, I hate when she does this because she's always making Felicity's business everybody's business. And it's not very nice.
She did it with the whole situation with what's her name, Ruby, with Ruby and all of that stuff, like made that public knowledge. And it really puts Felicity in a really tough spot because let's face it, like, yes, Noel and Felicity are now friendly. It's also still her ex-boyfriend. And it's also something that is like Felicity's probably embarrassed and shame, feeling shame about. Like, don't just out that to other people, especially when Felicity hasn't even said, hasn't even seemed like she wants to talk about it, you know?
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I did not like this from Elena, but they talk. And then this is where like the weird conversations start.
Yes. Yeah. It gets really, really weird.
So weird. Basically, Noel is like, you are like, you, David is a question mark for you, and that makes him interesting. Ruby's not a question mark for me anymore, and that makes her less interesting. But you and I are both question marks for each other, which makes us very, very interesting.
He's basically saying, I fucked Ruby, so I'm over it now. Whereas we haven't fucked.
That's what he means. But
that's what the implication is. Yeah. And it's like, and because we haven't fucked, there's like the what if factor. And he calls Felicity a romantic. And he says that, he says, what I love most about you, like so weird. He says, you want sex to mean something. And she says, yeah, well, I put so much importance on it that it never happens. And yeah, so he says, like, I'm actually happy nothing ever happened between us. And this is where it gets like so weird because he says he's happy nothing ever happened between them because it still keeps like the mystery alive, right? There's like an air of mystery between them.
Yeah, it's just so strange to say these things when you're still in a relationship with somebody else. And
yeah, when you're both actively in other relationships and pretending that you're just friends.
Yeah. Not
if I'm Ruby or David, I'm not happy this conversation is happening.
I totally agree with that. And I don't even think that this is helpful to Felicity, but before like she gets that into it, she gets a call from David, and David tells her that Lucky is sick. And then this is kind of like where the sad part of the episode goes.
Yeah, this is where it starts going downhill. Before it goes super downhill, though, we make a pit stop with Maggie and Ben where they're like post-coitus. She's like taking in catering orders or whatever. He's flipping through her day planner.
This is... Well, no, her wallet. Now, this is very interesting because we see the driver's license, and this answers a lot of our questions. So this was filmed in 1999. Maggie was born in 73, which means, if I did my math correctly and I'm remembering, that Maggie is 26 to Ben's 18-19.
Yes.
Which means that there is a 7 to 8 year age difference between them, which is a lot less than I originally thought. And that is also the age difference between me and my partner. So I feel as though it's, I mean, I don't know, maybe I'm putting myself into this a little bit, but I feel like it's not as wild and crazy as I
still do, but it's not because of the age difference. Again, like, it doesn't matter as much when you're both at the same station in life, is what I would call it, like the same point in your life. The fact that he is still a college student and like a new college student, like a freshman sophomore student, and she has her own business, is married, and like is at a totally different point in her life. That is where I think there's a problem with it. Not because of the age, but because of just where they're at in their lives.
Maggie was born on Cinco de Mayo.
Good for her.
Yeah.
Tequila, baby.
She loves tequila. She's 5'5", blonde hair. No, blue eyes, rather. Mm-hmm. What else? Not an organ donor. What a fucking bitch.
What a bitch. Fuck her. Donate your organs, Maggie.
Maggie does not want to donate her organs. Yeah. Okay, so basically he's like kissing her shoulders and she's trying to take a serious work call. And she is like, get out of here. I thought that was an interesting scene just because we kind of got some clarification about how old he was and or she was to him. And then once again, I'm going to just like do a content warning about pet health, just as a reminder, because we find out that Lucky has distemperment and there is no cure for this. And this is why getting your vaccinations is very, very important.
Yeah, this is a big one. Like, this is a really, really dangerous, contagious, serious disease that dogs get. It is one of the first things they get vaccinated for when they're puppies. It is something that is so dangerous. And of course, obviously, Lucky was a stray. So, like, more likely that he was, you know, susceptible to those sorts of things because he probably wasn't being vaccinated. And yeah, it's really awful because the vet says you can let the disease run its course, but it's going to be super painful for him. Or you can put him down. And Felicity looks like just shocked. And we don't, that's kind of the end of the conversation with the vet at that moment. And my heart broke for her, obviously, in that moment, because, you know, she already feels like a connection with this dog. And then to hear that not only is he, you know, he's ill, he's very ill, but she's forced to make this really, really difficult decision that no one ever wants to have to make. And it's very sudden. And on top of that, it is, she has to do what is best for him in terms of his pain, you know? Animals, it's different than humans a lot of times with medical care, and that if a human gets cancer, a lot of times, you know, chemo, radiation, the works, you will pump yourself so much full of poison and go through great lengths and pain to try to rid yourself of it. And a lot of times with animals, it is more about giving them a good life and a pain-free life, a pain-free existence. And so Felicity is really put in this like awful position. And before she even is able to kind of have a conversation with David about it, who probably is, I don't know, Sarah, I don't know how close they are at this point, her and David. They're pretty close, I'd say. Like, she'd probably want to have a conversation with him about this, especially because he was the one watching Lucky. And before she's even able to tell him, he went out and he got this like crate that Lucky can stay in. He got him like this bed. And if your heart wasn't already broken for Felicity, gosh, it like breaks again in this moment because you know he's not going to be able to use any of those things.
Yeah. I will say, like, we kind of like said that David was like a nothing. Like, this was a very, very sweet gesture because I feel as though he was like understanding how important Lucky was to Felicity. Like, I don't think that he has a connection with Lucky himself, but like he knows that Felicity really, really cares about him. So I thought like this was a really great move. And Felicity is kind of having a hard time talking about this. I wish that she was able to open up about David, about the decision she has to make. But before like she kind of gets to that, he like is basically, because she's like, I am kind of in a bad mood. And I like don't really want to talk. And he's like, you are like avoiding me and you're avoiding having sex with me, being intimate with me, which pisses her off. So then like they get into this tiff and she like kind of storms off. It's just like unfortunate because I just wish that she was I understand that she's like really, really upset and he definitely should have been more patient, but like I wish that she was able to like truly articulate like what was wrong to her current partner, because then I think that David would have showed up for her appropriately.
Oh, certainly. I think it's just bad timing all around. I think that he's very frustrated, understandably so, right? He's going leaps and bounds above and beyond like what he would normally do to try to like accommodate this situation and help Felicity through it without like confronting it head on. And when she just seems like so out of it and disinterested. And a lot of that, I'm sure, has to do with like the news that she just got about Lucky. But it's really bad timing. And she doesn't feel like she can say anything. And I understand that. Like, A, maybe not wanting to talk about it at all just because it's really painful. B, he just spent all that money on a crate. And then to say like, I'm so sorry, but like, this is the situation we're in, you know, like, and then she feels like he's saying that just because I did all of this, now you have to sleep with me. Like, she's kind of misconstruing what he's doing. And yeah, it's just not a great situation. So she doesn't tell him anything. And she spends the night at Elena and Noel's again. And yeah, like, it is nice of them to like let her stay there with him, because again, she can't bring him back to the dorm. And obviously, like, Megan is not very helpful with him. And it's really awful, because she says that the next morning she wakes up there and she says he was in pain all last night. He's like not even playing with his toys, his like favorite toy, Mr. Gorilla. And she says, I think I'm going to do it. And by do it, she means, you know, say goodbye to him at the vet's office. And I really appreciated Noel saying like he'll go with her.
Yeah.
I think it's already like an impossible thing to do, to do it alone. I truly can't imagine. I really, really can't. And I think it was so kind of Noel, especially knowing that like he's allergic to dogs. Like, he probably doesn't want to be within 5 feet of this dog. And not only did he let them spend the night at his apartment again, which, you know, he's gonna have to like clean and all that stuff. Like, it's a big deal for him to have this dog in his proximity, but he's going to accompany her to what is not a fun thing to do, like an actively awful, scary, sad thing to have to do. And I know I'm Team Ben, like, obviously, legally, Team Ben.
Always will be for you. Yeah.
Always. But whenever I'm like pissed off at Noel and like irritated with him, I will remember this moment, because I truly, like, I loved that he did this for her. Like, I thought it was so above and beyond anything that a person would do for another person. You know what I mean? As someone who's gone through this experience very recently, it is impossible. It is heartbreaking. It is awful. And doing it alone is never something I feel like I could do. You need a support system. And the fact that he is willing to be that person for her, when he has no obligation to be, is incredible. It's a generous kindness that he does her. And I will forever appreciate Noel as a character for that moment, even though, again, legally I am Team Ben.
Yeah. I mean, I couldn't have said it better. I think that it was like very kind of him to, and selfless of him to be there for Felicity with no ulterior motives, just like, I am here as a friend because you're in need of support. And I really like that. Like, I really, really like that he did that. So, for her. And I really, really like that David showed up for her and put aside like all the drama that they've been having the last like week, and just like put like Felicity first and like was there for her. And then I really, really loved that Noel was like, you know, like, I think that he could have survived if he stayed there. Like, I don't think it was the allergies.
No, he was making an excuse to leave. Yeah.
He's like, I know it's my place to let them have this time. And I thought that that was really mature of him too.
Everyone is 10 out of 10 right now. Like, it's pretty incredible that every character is kind of doing like the thing we would want them to do in these scenes. And yeah, like, it's just nice that they're all there for Felicity, for Felicity and Lucky. You know what I mean? Like, it is not a battle over Felicity's heart. It is nothing like that. It is, we are going to be here to support her through something that is so impossible. And yeah, the only other thing I will say on this note before we kind of move on from like this really, really tricky topic is, I do want to say, if you are dealing with something like this currently, if you are going through this, if you will go through this, like, you know, if you have a pet, most likely you're probably going to have to go through this at some point, because unfortunately, the nature of the beast is that we outlive them as humans most of the time. It feels impossible. You will get through it. It will be hard. Lean on the people that you need to lean on. And my other advice is, at least where I live, in New York State, I don't know about other places, and other cities and all of that. There are mobile, vets that will come to your home and do this. And I, not that I'm like, there's no great way to do it. But if I had a choice, I would do it that way. Again, I think it is much more peaceful and comfortable to be doing something like this in your own home, in a place that they are comfortable, to not have to go someplace that feels sterile and different and sad. And so that's my like two cents, and everyone, you know, take it or leave it, do whatever you want. But like, that's an option I didn't know existed. And so like, I just want to put it out there in case anybody ever needs that option. It was a thing we used, and I'm really grateful that we used that service instead of the opposite. So yeah, my heart goes out to anybody who has to do this, because it is so painful and difficult, and it's a really weird, weird grieving process, and a really, really weird thing to have to go through. But if you know, it doesn't take away anything from the really happy, lovely times that you have with your animals. And I would do it again 20 times over. but moving on from that, this was really sad, right? This whole scene is really awful and sad. And then we moved to Javier, who instantly cracked me up. I truly love him so much. He goes, oh, I'm gonna cry. He's like, he's so emotional over the passing of Lucky. And he goes, you know what? He's like, I'm very emotional. I'm not like you. I'm not this brute. I have emotions, okay?
Yeah, he is grieving over Lucky, especially because he's this, you know, crazy pet psychic. He just knows what Lucky's going through. And yeah. This gentleman comes along, and something that we did not mention in the last episode was that, as well as the license, we also see a picture of Maggie's husband. And then Maggie's husband comes into the shop. Ben recognizes him immediately, and he is purchasing a cake for their anniversary. And he wants like a butterfly on it. And obviously Ben knows that she has like a hidden butterfly tattoo. And he's so bad, like, to this customer. Like,
he's so nasty. Oh, you want me to decorate it?
And like, the guy's like, well, somebody, please.
Yeah. You work at a fucking coffee shop bakery.
Yeah. Javier's too upset to help the customer. So yeah, Ben has to deal with this. And it's just like, it's just going to get even messier, I'm sure. They're going to get caught, and it's going to be a disaster.
Yeah, it truly is. It's so messy, and I love it. Like, obviously, like, Ben is making some poor decisions here, but I just thought this was so funny. I'm like, yeah, let's continue this for a hot second. Just like, I'm not asking too many episodes of this, but this is so silly.
Yeah.
This is ridiculous.
I mean, yeah, I'm along for the ride. So Felicity and David have a really, really good talk about how, like, you know, she didn't realize it, but she really is having intimacy issues, and, you know, admits that he would be like the second person that she's ever been with, and that, like, maybe, like, she would rather, like, take it slow because this means, like, more to her than her first time. And he is very receptive, and he's like, I get it. Like, I have been going through like a lot too with my grieving process for my relationship. And they agree to take a step back and take sex off the table. But that, of course, gets them to like relax and calm down. And then they have sex because they were finally able to like let all the walls down and be open. And yeah, so like they wind up doing it. I don't think we heard if it's good, but
no, all we see is like the next day, when Noel and Felicity have a conversation, like they're eating breakfast together or whatever. And it's, again, like the tiny moments of intimacy between Noel and Felicity. Like, he has the paper and he knows what section she's going to want and like gives it to her. You know what I mean? Like, it's very, they're close. Like, it's very obvious they're close. Yeah. And he says, oh, how'd it go last night? And she's like, oh, with me and David. And he goes, yeah. And she goes, oh, it was good. And he goes, good. Is it gone? The mystery. And it's just like, and then he leaves things off. We leave the episode off with Noel saying, well, now you and I have something that you and David don't.
Yeah, I don't like it. That was weird.
I don't like that, Noel. That was really weird.
That was like kind of,
oh,
weird.
You've had sex with him, so I have the one up on him. I'm sorry, sir. What?
Yeah. I mean, like, I don't know. It's just like Noel and Felicity endgame propaganda. type of thing.
Yeah, yeah. Like, and then she, you know, they both have little, like, you know, smirks on their faces. Like, it's so obvious there's something still there between them. There's still a spark. There's still chemistry. This isn't over. Mm-hmm. You know, whatever. It's, again, I can't shit on Noel too much just because I really appreciated him this episode. But Noel, come on now. That's it. Just Noel, come on now.
Yeah, come on now.
Oh my gosh.
So I mean, tough episode, but there is definitely like some elements of light in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, it's Javier is really truly a beacon of sunshine, and all of the characters were so supportive, right? Like there were multiple people who took in Lucky, offered to take in Lucky, tried to take him in, you know, were there to support Felicity. So while it was a very difficult episode, I feel like a lot of the characters were like, had a good, you know, had a great episode. You know what I mean? Like, I wasn't like shitting on them too much because I felt like they were just kind, which is going to make the part of giving someone a point a little difficult, Sarah.
I don't know. Not for me, because like, I mean, I think that like Noel did have good moments, but he also had bad moments or weird moments. So for me, like, I feel like I just
probably
think
you're in agreement just because of like, I think I know who you're going to give it to.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel similarly just because he made me laugh so much in an episode that was like really hard for me to watch.
Well, that's what it is. Like, you know, like we need Javier to like bring us up from these like low lows. Although like I think that he wasn't like the biggest part, I think that like his scenes were just really, really needed to make this like episode bearable to watch.
I totally agree. We're going to give the point to Javier. Honorable mentions to David and
Mommy.
Noel, I think. Oh. And obviously Mommy. Yeah. Let's give an honorable mention to Mommy the cat, who is very judgy, as she has every right to be.
Yeah. And justice for her, because she did not make it onto the Cinema Cats website. Oh,
absolutely heartbreaking. Yeah. Mommy wasn't on Cinema Cats.
Yeah, it is very disappointing.
So that is the episode Getting Lucky. Let's check in with some feedback that we have. We do have, of course, a voicemail from Tenny. So let's see what he has to say.
Hi, ladies. Elena, am I sexual? The restaurant Boulet was mentioned in this episode. Bodie from Dawson's Creek said it had closed 2 years ago. That was 1998. And I checked, it had it in 1996. Yet in this episode, David ordered from Boulet.
Ooh,
Temmie's memory. So I thought,
that was really weird. Boulet was reopened at another site in 2008 and closed again in 2017. The owner actually died this year in February.
Oh.
I was re-listening to your Dawson's Creek podcast, so that's why I was ready to call out this minute error.
Wait, I have to pause down for a second. Did Timmy just say he's re-listening to our podcast?
Maybe he just listened to that episode.
Timmy, 10 out of 10, Timmy. We love you, Timmy. Let's continue this.
Why does Maggie order from Dean and DeLuca, going back to her first appearance, if she has her own bakery?
Thank you, Timmy. Yes, why?
Wait, hold on. Pause.
Yes, okay. Hold on. Got it.
This is like, okay, did you hear about the vegan bakery in Long Island or Staten Island that has been selling Dunkin' Donuts?
What? No.
Yeah.
Scandal.
Yeah. No, it is a huge scandal. It's just that like that. Fucked. Like she is repackaging Dean and DeLuca pastries as her own. But I mean, like the vegan bakery is a big issue because like people have food allergies.
It's not vegan.
It's not vegan. But yeah.
Fucked.
It's just like that. Yeah.
That's wild. Wow. Well, that would be fun if Maggie was doing that.
He's comparing Lucky the dog to a man with using a metaphor, which is the theme of a song by Norah Jones called Man of the Hour.
Hmm.
She does the same thing. It's describing a dog as if it was a person. She's my favorite artist of all time.
Oh.
I just wanted to know who are some of your musical favorites. I know when the No Doubt appeared on Dawson's Creek, Sarah knew about some of No Doubt's discography, and I think I remember that Jess, you listened to Journey or some similar band.
Yep, love Journey.
In your car at times, so I was wondering if you wanted to talk about that. Thanks. Bye.
I would love to talk about music because I have a great passion for music. Mm-hmm. I listen to music all day, pretty much. So, when I was in high school, so like we always like to talk about like when I was these people, I listened to Red Hot Chili Peppers, mm-hmm. The Killers, him. Like I was definitely like trying to be a cool girl. And then I think like I developed more into like, I'm definitely more pop music. I had like my Beyonce years. I still love Beyonce. And I listen to a lot of Taylor Swift. I listen to a lot of Ariana Grande. I love Adele and Sam Smith. I think that Billie Eilish sometimes has a lot of good songs when they don't sound the same.
The shade to Billie Eilish. Oh my God.
I'm just saying that. Oh, yeah. I love Fleetwood Mac. Specifically, I love Stevie Nicks. And who else do I like? Boop, 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 boop. I mean, those are pretty much my favorites. That's it. I think like Miley is like pretty underrated at times.
Yeah. I can agree with that.
Yeah.
I don't listen to a ton of music currently in my life. I would say like in middle school, I went through a moment where I was like into country music for some reason. I think it was because one of my really good friends really liked it. And so I just kind of was like influenced to get into it. It didn't last super long. Through high school, I mostly listened to like whatever was on the radio at the moment, like just like current hits. But I often went back to bands like Blink 182. Like I was like really into like that sort of poppy, rocky sort of thing. Avril Lavigne was huge for me in like middle school. I loved Avril Lavigne. And then once I graduated high school and was more into college and everything, that is when I really went back to classic rock as like my main choice of genre. I mostly listened to, honestly, what I listened to growing up, like in my car, or my parents' car, I didn't get to choose what we listened to. We always listened to classic rock. It was always like 70s and 80s classic rock. And so that is mostly what I gravitate towards. I just really like it. It's like comforting to me. I love Journey. Tommy, you are correct. I love Journey. I like Rush a lot, mostly because I love the movie I Love You, Man. But I would say like if I'm in the car and I'm listening to music, it's one of a very few things. It is either the Barbie soundtrack, which obviously has only been a big thing since Barbie came out. I absolutely love the Barbie soundtrack. It is Journey. It is like a random, you know, classic rock station on like Amazon Music or something. Or it is the Hamilton soundtrack. I absolutely adore the Hamilton soundtrack. I also like some other musical soundtracks, but not a ton of them. Like Little Shop is like one that I'll put on a lot of times too. But Hamilton is my go-to, especially if I'm snow blowing or like doing any sort of yard maintenance. I'm listening to Hamilton. that's it for my musical taste. Like I don't listen to a ton of music. I like music. I just don't put it on often. I like to be listening to podcasts mostly. So yeah, that's my music taste. Sarah Thank hates you. It, but that's okay.
No, I don't
hate it. The Barbie soundtrack, you have to admit, is so good.
I don't listen to it, but sure.
I do like the Billie Eilish song. It's like the Billie Eilish song from Barbie is seriously like so moving. I absolutely adore it. Okay, let's hear from DBK. Let's see what he has to say about this episode.
All right, what up, though, ladies? Getting lucky. Someone did get lucky, so I guess you guys were right on that. But it was a bit of a throw-off with Felicity finding a stray dog. Hopefully you guys made it through the episode and no tears were shed because they kind of Marley and me'd us.
Oh, no.
I'm not loving Elena this episode. Yeah. I kind of feel like she's pressuring Felicity into having sex and like not being a good best friend this episode.
I would agree with that.
Ben sucks. He's now screwing up a marriage. We learned Javier's a cat person. Mommy's a cat. And Javier's a cat person. So gotta love that. And then let's discuss one Julie Emmerich a little bit.
Oh, no.
Like, Sean sees how Julie looks at Ben, right?
How Julie looks at Ben?
Like, come on, Sean. You gotta realize she comes out with no top on. She's like not into you, bro.
Yeah, we did say that.
And then like the way she's looking at Ben in front of you, like, I mean, get a hint, Sean. Like, she covers up when Ben comes in the room and she's like letting it all hang out for you, Sean. She clearly does not give two shits about you. The sooner you realize this, the better for yourself, Sean. Also, pretty excited for next episode. Once you guys realize what it is, I feel like it's going to be a very good episode for you guys. And I'm pretty excited to hear next week's episode. Anyways, till next week, ladies. Peace.
Did you see Julie looking at Ben any sort of way?
No, but now I'm going to have to take a look. I think that's a great point that DBK made about the covering up. Like, it's kind of, it's what we were saying. And like, I feel as though like if I had paid close attention to see like Julie cover up when Ben was there, then that's something that we can definitely could have clocked.
Yeah, I totally agree. Cause we had the one thing where we said, oh, we noticed she's walking around in a bra in front of Sean. I didn't notice that when Ben walked in, she covered up. I think you could also kind of attribute that to, you know, him being her ex, but I do think it could be both. You know what I mean? I think I would cover up in front of an ex. You know what I mean? Like, in a way, I wouldn't cover up in front of a friend. But
remember
these tips?
I'm sure you're missing them.
Right? Noted. And I will take note of that in the future. We also got an email from Jamie. Overall, the episode was okay, but I still can't get into this new love interest for Felicity. He's a huge step down from both Noel and Ben, and I don't understand why the show didn't just bring back Eli. He's hot. He has great chemistry with Carrie Russell. And it would also make sense since Felicity is now an art major and Eli was also in the art department. So it would be believable for him to be back in her orbit. I wonder if the show just doesn't want the audience to like Felicity with someone other than Noel or Ben. Yeah. That's so interesting. Part of me wonders, Sarah, if it's like, well, we don't want to recycle old stuff of like, oh, now Eli's back in the picture. Or like, could they not get the actor maybe? I mean, it's a big show at this point, so they probably could have gotten him. But
what else is art guy Eli doing?
I don't know. I'm just saying maybe he was already like in contract for something else.
Maybe.
I don't know. Him, you know?
I have hopes for him. Yeah. I mean, I think that that's a good point where it's like, oh, we just want whoever Felicity to be dating, like, we don't want you to like him. I think that there's definitely something there.
Yeah, because I mean, they're not fleshing him out at all, right? If they really wanted us to like him, they'd flesh him out. I mean, and again, I have to give credit to him on this episode. Like, I thought he was a really supportive person, like a really supportive partner for her, but it doesn't change the fact that he's not really three-dimensional for us at this point. Jamie continues. Anyways, I'm glad you guys liked my tidbit last week about Malibu Shores, the show with Carrie Russell and Charisma Carpenter. The show, like Felicity, also has an OG Power Ranger, Walter Jones, who was the Black Power Ranger. Katie Wright, a popular 90s actress, was also in the show, who guest starred in an episode of Boy Meets World, the one where Sean dresses up as Veronica. Oh, I remember that episode.
Oh, yeah.
Hopefully you can find the show and at least cover the pilot, as the whole series is probably difficult to find. Thanks for all the great content. Well, thank you, Jamie, for sending in a message and for recommending that to us.
Looking into it. I wasn't able to get Malibu Shores on the Brenna's Plex.
The Notorious Plex.
Yeah. But, you know, that doesn't mean that's not going to come.
Well, I think I told you I had found the pilot online. So at the very least, we could watch the pilot. So we will do that at some point.
I've been watching a late 80s, early 90s show, Designing Women, because I really, really liked Hacks and I wanted to watch more with Jeanne Smart. Yeah. And so I've been watching her show, Designing Women, which is like about like a group of four women who are in their 30s and they own a interior design business. And it's like very entertaining. It's like not Golden Girls vibes, but like it's like that era of show. Okay. It's like a sitcom. I'm really enjoying it.
Is it like Fran Drescher?
No, it's not. It's not like The Nanny. And there's no grand gestures thus far, but it's really funny. It's really funny.
Yeah.
I'm watching currently.
I've been catching up on Australian Survivor. And beyond that, what the heck else am I even watching?
I don't know. You're just watching a lot of Survivor. I don't know why.
Watching so much Survivor. I'm back into it, man. I can't explain it. You know, it just comes in waves, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, do you want to hear the title for next week's episode?
Yeah.
Family Affairs.
Whoa, Family Affairs.
Ben's paramour here, Maggie. Do we think that her husband's finding out?
Yes. Maybe we'll see more parents.
I was just going to ask, do we think there's some sort of like parent weekend at the college? Oh,
yes.
Something?
It's 1,000% parents weekend. Yes.
I would love that.
We're going to see all the parents. Yeah.
I hope we get to see Megan's parents come back.
Maybe like there's going to be a run-in with like Julie's like birth mom and adopted family.
I forgot about that entire storyline.
No, don't forget.
Yes, that would be great. Yeah. Ooh,
it's 1,000% parents weekend. And then we're going to have like the side thing of like, freaking Ben gang caught.
I would love that. Yeah. I would absolutely love that. Yeah, so that's exciting.
Be a good episode.
That'll be next week. In the meantime, we are still doing Buffy. So check that out. I'm going to be guesting over on Whirlwind Podcasts on Pushing Daisies. They're Pushing Daisies podcast, which I'm really excited about.
Well,
One
Indescribable podcast.
Well, it's on Whirlwind, isn't it?
It is on Whirlwind, but One Indescribable podcast, it's still its own entity.
Okay. So Whirlwind and then One Indescribable podcast and then Pushing Daisies. I'm going to be guesting on that very soon. Just started the show. Really enjoying it. So check that out. And we're going to have some bonus content coming to you this month. The first podcast we're recording is we're going to talk about the movie Sliding Doors, which I think was as a result of something. Was it on this one or Buffy that like it came
both
up?
Both or either. I think it's something that I kind of reference a lot because I just think it's a very interesting concept of like thing can, you know, make or break. Well, not make or break, but like one thing can like affect your life so dramatically as of like catching a subway train or not. So
yes, right. Okay. So yeah, so we're gonna be covering Sliding Doors. That should be a lot of fun. And in the meantime, you can check us out at Shit90s Pod on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at the Jess Sterling. I'm also on Talking Shit, where we're just wrapping up season one of Schitt's Creek. And Sarah, you and I are also covering Pretty Little Liars summer school over on Whirlwind.
Yeah. Check out what we're up to, Whirlwind Pods.
Incredible. And again, my heart goes out to anybody who had a tough time with this episode. Solidarity. I'm there with you. I shed some tears over Lucky, so no shame in doing that. And my DMs are always open. If anybody wants to commiserate, I'm there for you. Hit me up. I will be your shoulder. You know, I will be your Noel in the moment that you need me. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We will talk to you all next time. Have a good one. Bye.
Just ask. Shit90 shows taught me.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.